All right, Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to look mostly in chapter 8 today. We pretty much closed out Matthew 7, but I just want to read the last two verses of Matthew chapter 7 as well. Today we're going to preach about true worship as we've been teaching through the book of Matthew with the thought line in the background, the making of God's fishers. But at this point, we've really reached all the instruction that Jesus has given to his disciples. Now we're about to see Jesus in action. He had taken them up, he called them apart, and taught them from many different principles. And if you notice, everything about what Jesus taught, Jesus taught them biblical principles that dealt with people. You know, Pharisees deal with positions. You know, a position that where you can find something within yourself. But everything Jesus emphasized the most was regarding interacting with other people. And I won't go through and preach. I could review it, but that would be another message in itself, maybe a different time. But what I want to bring the light of is, you think about everything we talked about, all the dealings with people, from judging to prayer, to seeking first the kingdom and not having two masters, and the way you pray, make sure it's more in silent than publicly. But in verse 28 of Matthew 7, the Word of God says, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." So everything Jesus was teaching regarding how we interact, and basically the reality is, show forth the character of Jesus Christ toward others. The Bible says he didn't teach that as a light recommendation. He taught that as authority. You know, and because the scribes and even people like myself, I can only tell you this is what God said, and you and him work it out. I was ministering to someone this week, and I told him, I'm not looking for you to live up to any expectations that I have of you. I said, my goal is to challenge you to give your all to Jesus Christ and to serve him faithfully. And I said, now listen to this. I said, and I can't honestly even tell you completely what that looks like. But I do know this, if you get to know him, and if you actually do submit to that, and your ultimate goal is to do everything the way God wants you to do, there will be biblical fruit in your life, the love, the joy, the peace, the goodness, the temperance, and the faith. If you endeavor to do that, and you'll have that fruit burst forth. And I tell you, that's something I've come to realize more in these recent years, because I've seen a lot of different people that don't do things the way I do it, but they have fruit. Amen. So let me realize, you know, I didn't corner the market on everything, but thank God for his goodness. And so as Jesus challenges us, okay, think of how, remember he gave the great commandment, all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, your neighbor like yourself. And as we interact with others, he said, now this is not something that I think would be a good way for you to live your life. He taught with authority. So as you meditate over the things that taught in previous messages, think about that came by the authority of Jesus Christ, that he's really concerned. Because you think about, as you view the life of Jesus, if you've studied his life walking the earth, what made him so amazing is how he dealt with people. I mean, miracles, I mean, thank God for the miracles. But, you know, it's funny, you can look at a miracle and you think, well, that's nice, but when you get to see how he responded to those that hated him, and how he didn't condemn those that everybody else condemned, you think, wow, this is what sets him apart, you know, and so thank God for that. Now, in Matthew chapter 8, beginning in verse number 1, you'll notice that the Word of God, that it does say this, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him. That's where we get the message, true worship. Saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Heavenly Father, today I ask that you help, Lord. Lord, God, thank you for reminding me even last night when I was praying that I don't need to strive. And Lord, and so Lord, my desire is to just walk through this in obedience unto you, knowing that any strength I have or any way I try to add to this or strive to this is going to be an absolutely completely vain effort. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, take this one message and meet the need of every heart in this room. Amen. Now, as you see the story here, basically, Jesus has been talking, teaching the disciples for a period of time, and now they've come down from the mountain. And the Bible says that multitudes have followed him. Now, and this is rather amazing when I see this. It says the multitudes followed him, but it's only one person that worshiped him. Three simple points today. Number one, the condition of the worshiper, the confidence of the worshiper, and the command to the worshiper. So number one, the condition of the worshiper. You see already by now in verse 2, sit up, buddy, that the condition is he's a leper. I mean, he's unclean. He's got a condition that nothing earthly speaking could help. No doctors can cure it at this time. And basically, when you had leprosy, there were some unique situations sometimes when they shut people up that they actually got cleansed and they could show themselves to the priest, as you see what Jesus commanded later. But his condition was that, man, he was done. He was set apart as unclean, and nobody else would really, they were not allowed to be near other people. And I think this is amazing, with all the teaching, with all the people following, as you look through the scriptures, the only person that the scriptures recognize as someone that's worshiping him is the leper. I wrote in my Bible to help me, worship is extravagant love and extreme submission. Perhaps the reason that the leper was the only one recognized for worship was because he recognized through his condition that the only possible hope he had was to be subject to the will of God. Because he recognized he had leprosy, he was unclean, but he said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. So nothing can be done. And I wrote a note here, leprosy is a condition so bad that the only place of acceptance he could find was among other lepers. Now, isn't that the way of the world right now? The only place that the world really can find comfort is amongst other people that have the same condition. But here's the amazing thing is, the older I'm living, I'm seeing people get saved at all sorts of backgrounds and all sorts of baggage. And man, these are the people that are coming to worship God. These are the people that have a heart that looks to God and say, wow, Lord, you did that for me. You know, and because until we recognize the miracle that actually took place, if we've been saved by the grace of God, there really is no extravagant love. You know, it's just Landon sent me this post. I guess he sent it to the group about the difference between Mother's Day and Father's Day. They advertised for Mother's Day a $3,000 diamond ring. And for Father's Day, they advertise $11 cargo shorts at Target or something, you know. And of course, any gift is acceptable. But, you know, a gift of if somebody brings you on Mother's Day like $11 gift, it has to be some little child that saved them all their money, you know. That kind of moves you a little bit by the sincerity. But what really moves you is somebody drops, if they have the ability to drop some great big gift on you, you know. Like when it comes to a wedding, most ladies don't expect somebody to pick them a ring from Walmart. You know, unless you're from the deep south and where people are poor, then a Walmart ring is really a great thing because a lot of them don't have any rings. But the point I'm making is the larger the gift, the greater the response of appreciation. And so here's this leper. He's like, you know what? There's nothing. Catch this now. He said, there's absolutely nothing. There's absolutely no one. There's not a thing in the world that can help me one bit except but, Lord, if thou wilt. And he worshiped him. So his condition was, it was pretty desperate. Turn to Psalm 119, 135. We'll be back to Matthew in just a moment. But Psalm 119, if you made note of what was said here, you ought to circle this maybe when you get back or in between. Because he didn't say, Lord, if thou wilt, empower me to be clean. He didn't say, Lord, if thou wilt help me to be clean. He didn't say that. He said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me to be clean. See, he recognized that what he needed was something so beyond his own personal strength and ability that he even phrased it in such a way that I don't have anything to do with this. You know, if this is going to happen, Lord, you're going to have to make it happen. And David, in the Psalms here, in Psalm 119, as he's crying out to God in prayer, and where'd he go here? I lost it. I have to get in the right Psalm to help. He said, make thy face to shine upon thy servant and teach me thy statutes. I lost another verse I had here. He said, make me to go in thy precepts, for therein I delight. So David understood that for God really to move, he needed God to make something happen in his life. Verse 35. Actually, that's the real one I was looking for. Psalm 119, verse 35. He says, make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Verse 33, he cried out, Lord, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. He says, give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law, yea, and I shall observe with my whole heart. And then he says, make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Lord, what I need from you, Lord, I need you to make it happen. See, even his statement is he's recognizing his condition of helplessness without the help of God. You know, can I know about you? I know about me. I struggled a lot in my Christian life because I wanted God's help, but I wanted God to basically strengthen my flesh to do what he wanted me to do. So it wasn't enough for me to want to God just to do it. I wanted to actually feel him do it. If you understand the difference, you know, is even like when I was in secular work and not in full-time ministry, I like the feeling of using my strength and my body to earn money. I like the feeling of that. And, I enjoy that. And I still like when I can able to go do something and do a cash job and make some money, it feels different, but it's quite humiliating to just kind of be at the mercy of God and have needs and say, Lord, help me. Lord, you know the situation you're in. Lord, help me. And Lord, if thou wilt, you can take every need we have. But Lord, I just need you to make it happen. See, I would much rather do it myself. But now, number two, we've seen the condition of the worshiper. Now, number two, the confidence of the worshiper. He says, if thou wilt. So he knows. Now, I like the way he says this because he gives kind of God a blank check here. If thou wilt. So he's not thinking about how long he's been in his condition. He's not thinking about the severity of the condition. He's not thinking about how many other people maybe been healed of leprosy. He's not thinking about any circumstances regarding what he needs. His great confidence is, you know what? Lord, this is bad. I mean, there's people that live their entire life outside the camp, never got to come in because of leprosy. And many people died outside the camp with leprosy, never ever coming in. But Lord, that don't mean nothing to you. He said, Lord, it don't matter how bad it is. It don't matter how difficult it is. It don't mean nothing to you. The Lord, my confidence is so in you that the only thing I need is for you to be willing. Because Lord, if you're willing, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. So it's not, that's the great confidence that he has in the Lord. You know, as I mentioned in last week from Romans chapter 4, one thing that happens to us, you know, when you serve God a period of time, that really should be a blessing. But what can happen is the longer you serve God, you begin to look at the facts and the circumstances and the situations. There's many people my age, or not even my age, but I say they serve God as long as I have, and they've looked at the great number of people that are no longer faithful. And they determine what they believe in faith by what they've seen in other people. And they get discouraged, and then they begin to, I guess, not trust in the promises of God as they used to. Because they, when they started out, they just believed God could do anything. They're trusting by faith or anything. But now, having seen a few struggles and now looking at situations and circumstances that seem a little bit big, it's no longer, Lord, just if thou wilt. They say, Lord, if you'll do this, if you'll arrange this, if you'll work on this person, if you work on that person, if you give me this job, you give me that job. Instead of, Lord, if you will, you'll take care of me. If you will, you provide my needs. And in facts, see, the more we learn, the more we, the problem is the way the world is going right now, and even in the Christian world, we're learning more information, but we're not learning more information about God. And so the reason, and so what's happening is all this information that we just have is so much greater than our knowledge of God that we can't just, like a newborn babe, say, Lord, if thou wilt anymore. We can't just simply say, Father, I trust you to do anything. Because we got so much information now, we're like, wow, you know what have to happen if for God to do that? And imagine if this leper at this time had Google, if he had known the statistics of how many people that got leprosy didn't get healed of it, if he'd have known the severity of leprosy and maybe known genetically whether leprosy was a genetic disease or whether it was something that was caught, if he'd have known all those facts, it might not have been as easy for him to look at the Lord and say, Lord, if thou wilt. Now, it should be, because the Lord really means Lord. I mean, it means he's almighty. It doesn't matter what's going on in the circumstances. But the confidence of the worshiper, he simply said, Lord, if thou wilt. Doesn't matter how bad this is. Doesn't matter how difficult this is. Doesn't matter how impossible this seems to me. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. That's a great word of salvation there also. Because many people think they could never, ever live the life that Christ has for them. Because they still are looking for something in themselves to do. Remember, we read it, David said, Lord, make me, didn't he? And he said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. See, salvation is a great gift of God. Now, hold your place here and turn to the right just a little bit, John chapter 11. I want to see some here. Since we're talking about the confidence of the worshiper, this is another one of my favorite things that God has recorded in his word about Lazarus. And I love Martha's faith here when it comes to her dead brother here. In John chapter 11 and verse 21, notice what the word of God said. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. So this is a pretty serious situation. He's dead. He's not sick. He's not weak. He's really dead. But her confidence in the Lord, she said, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Now, see, this is an amazing fact here. Many of us know this. But I think she did the same thing that most of us do when we need a miracle or in a situation beyond our own strength. It says here, Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto her, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Now, as you think about it, now she just made this amazing statement of faith. She said, Lord, if you've been here, my brother had not died, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou would ask of God, he'll give it thee. So I know that if you ask God that this death don't mean nothing, he'll come back to life. And so Jesus is talking to her. You understand, he's in the conversation with her, and Jesus says, thy brother shall rise again. And she should have said, whoa, really? But no, she said, oh, well, I know he's going to come and be back again in the resurrection. But she said, because she does what you and I do sometimes. Lord, I know that what you ask, you'll give it to me, that what you ask of God, he'll give it to thee, but I just don't think you're going to do it in this situation. And because we don't really recognize what God's plan is, what God's will is. And there's times we pray and we want God to do things according to our own will. And we relegate instead of actually communing with God to find out what His will is, we predetermine what the way God can answer. Now, if it had been up to Martha and Mary, they knew that if he'd have got there, he hadn't died. But based on the faith that they had, that we know he could do something, but we know they already decided, well, we know you're not going to do something. Because that's really what happened here. Lord, even now, if thou ask, I give it thee, but. And Jesus said, thy brother shall rise again. Well, yeah, I know that, but. and this is what happens to me sometimes. And I think it happens to a lot of believers. You know, we did predetermine, even though we know God's power, since based on our limited experience, because basically she had limited experience with Jesus, didn't she? And so because based on her limited experience of Jesus, well, I know he can keep a person from dying, but he's not going to raise somebody up after they do die. So, well, I know you're here. And Lord, if you've been here, I praise you because you could have made a difference, but I pretty much know you're not going to do it now. But the worshiper here, back in Matthew chapter 8, he had great confidence. He didn't, the circumstances didn't matter to him. The situation didn't matter to him. He said, Lord, if you're just willing, that's all I need to know. If you're willing, thou canst make me clean. And now, last of all, number three, regarding true worship, the command to the worshiper. Now, this is a great truth here. And one of the greatest things that regarding the situation also is something true regarding salvation. Because he gives a command to the worshiper here. And the Bible says the promises of God are yea and amen. But sometimes he just says something that he just brings into being because he said, Lord, okay, he if thou wilt, he said, yeah, you can make me clean. Because he knew he couldn't clean himself. And so now, Jesus said, he said, I will. And the commands he gives, after he says, I will, now this is amazing. He could have just said, I will. But then he says, he gives a command, be thou clean. And immediately the Bible says his leprosy was cleansed. Now I thought to myself, now this is amazing because he is commanded cleansing over this guy's life. And he commanded in such a way, he said, be thou clean. And if you were thinking about this in such a way, he probably thinking, no, wait a minute, I didn't cleanse myself. How can I do this? So basically, what did he have to do? He had to accept the truth about what Jesus has spoken over his life. He said, be thou clean. And see, if you think about salvation, when we're born again, the Bible says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we shall be called the sons of God. God names us as his child, and that's an eternal secure position. And so we just need to be that. We don't try to keep that. We don't try to maintain that. We just basically walk in the reality of the truth that his will has spoken over our life. Romans chapter 4. Excuse me, turn to your right. Just a little bit. We looked at this verse in the mini message last week. But in Romans chapter 4, notice that the Bible says in verse number 17. And I love this because this is the almighty power of God. Romans 4:17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. So God called this leper clean as though he was, and then he was. And so God, when God calls something into existence, when God speaks it, it's done, it's settled. You know, when God says, child of God, the day you were born again, this is not a conditional basis. This is something secure. This is something settled. The reason we could sing about heaven, and hopefully you could have some joy about it, because you recognize that that's a promise that came from God. That is not something that you maintain and hope you can bring it into existence. That is something that God declares for his children when he's given them eternal life. And when they receive that eternal life, what a marvelous, blessed privilege that is, that God said, now you're my child now. That's forever. You know, and you don't have to worry about that anymore. That is settled. And so God, by his power, he speaks those things into being that be not as though they were. And so he said to this leper, be thou clean. And immediately He was cleansed. And Lovett said, whoa, what happened? Well, he saw the reality of what he had worshiped God, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. I can't do it. I can't make it happen, but you can make it happen. You can make me clean. Now, in Romans chapter 8, and this is amazing. This is all amazing. But in Romans chapter 8, I notice what the Bible says. And see, this is why salvation gets greater to me the longer I serve God. Because I'm understanding this don't have anything to do with me. And all I had to do was basically believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And once I did, he settled me as his child. My identity is secure. I don't have to prove anything to myself. I don't have to prove anything to anybody. I just get to walk with God because I love him. And even when I fail, it's okay. I mean, I hate it when I do fail, but God's never looking at me and saying, well, you're not going to be my child anymore. He said, man, come on, get up. You're mine. You shouldn't act like that. That's what God convicts me. He said, you should not. You know that if you're my child, you don't have to act like that. You don't have to live like that. You don't have to be like that. You don't have to think like that. Because I told you, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? From the old man. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. All things are of God. Now, Romans 8, we have this phenomenal promise in the Word of God. Verse 28, he says, and we know. If you underline or circle, you should underline no, and you should get alone in a closet with God somewhere until you believe that. And, you know, anymore I study my Bible, you know, I get to something like this, and I just start looking at it. And I said, and I let God confront my unbelief. All things work together for good. If you're a person like me that's made a lot of mistakes in life, that could trip you up for a while. All things. Yeah, but he did say all things. But even that, yeah, we know. Oh, we know. We didn't say we hope. He says we know all things. Yeah, but if I hadn't did this, I wouldn't be in this situation. Yeah, but God said all things. See, we're working for an eternal purpose, not a temporal purpose. We're often grounded because we look at our bad decisions and how they affect us in this life, you know. And that's not what it's really about. It's about how it affects between us and God. Because I told somebody the other day that they had this guy, the meeting I preached at in Atlanta recently, guy had a young daughter there, I think maybe five, had been saved. You could tell he had a rough upbringing, you know, and he'd been through it, you know, and I got a chance to have lunch with him. And I said, well, I just want you to know this. I said, because he had gotten saved, the meeting was just fine. He was happy. And I said, there's no lost time with God. I said, don't be looking back at what your life was or where this or that. I said, there's no lost time with God. Even when you do it wrong, it's between you and him. And God watches that. And he's working in your life to learn from that. You know, it's impossible that offenses may come. We don't want to offend people. And there's a woe when we have that, because we still have that inward burden from that woe. But at the end of the day, we're going to answer to God for how we respond in that failure, just like David. You know, it's amazing that the only man after God's own heart was an adulterer. And the other person that was known to be the talk God face to face, he had an anger problem. Now, both are not justifiable. You don't use those passages to justify that we should be that way or have an anger problem or to have an adulterous heart. But we do recognize that, man, God, when God makes you his, you really are his. It's not a performance-based relationship. It is a secure relationship based on the loving, provided hand of the Father. So in verse 28, and we know, I went back to Matthew, excuse me, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So I want you to see, we're talking about God commanded his worshiper to be clean. And so do you recognize that as a child of God, that there is a command that God has put in order that's governed your life, that all things will work together for good, that to them they love God? There is, just like Jesus commanded a leper to be clean, there is a command governing your life that all things will work together for good. And he knew that, to whom he did not catch this now, but Pastor Harper, you don't understand where I've been. You're right, I don't. But guess what? I think he does. He says right here, in fact, verse 29, and for whom he did foreknow. So he knew. He did also predestinate to be conformed in the image of his son. So God knew all those bad decisions. He knew those sins you would walk in sometimes. And he knew those different things. If you're his child, he predestinated that those things would be used by him to conform you into the image of his son. Help me out, Morgan. Turn around. We're almost done here. Amazingly enough. So that's amazing. In the verse 30. Moreover, now here it is. This is what I'm looking for. That was just a good news along the way. But this is what I'm looking for right here. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. Know what he did when he justified? He said, be thou clean. He said, by the merits of my son, the Lord Jesus Christ, it's just as if I'd never sinned before. When God looks at me, he looks at me through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that day when he said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. And in my heart, as I turned from my way to thee way, believed on Jesus Christ, he said, be thou clean. And you know, he set that in order, and I'm eternally his child. And everything I do now is not to maintain that status. Everything I do now is because I belong to him and I want to represent him, because nobody could do for me what he did for me. Where in the world could you have such a relationship with anybody that you eternally, no matter what you do, no matter how you act, that God said, you're mine. And it just settled in this. And in the midst of who we are, no matter how we respond to him, he's saying, come closer, come closer. And even when he chastens us, it's only for us to come closer so we can get to know him as he really is. It says, so them he also justified, and whom he also glorified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now see if you catch the glory of what's taking place here, it's almost like all of a sudden, wait a minute, what's going on here? Okay, wait a minute. Okay, we don't hope. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And because for whom he did foreknow, man, God, you mean that? Even that God knew that he predestinated that as I love him, he would use that to conform me to the image of his son. And wait a minute. Since he predestinated, that he called me. And as he called me, he justified, he eternally settled the strength of my cleansing before him. And everyone that he justified, know what he did? He glorified him. And then all of a sudden he said, whoa, what should we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? That's verse 31. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up from us for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Then he makes this amazing statement that most people don't believe. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Nobody's saying, how dare you and I lay a charge against one of God's children? Because God said, those are mine. It's God. God says, I justified them. You didn't justify them. God says, I bought them with my blood. You don't have a right to say anything against one of my children because I purchased them with my own blood. He says, who shall say anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. And I should tell you, and you need to say it to yourself too. Don't you even speak a charge against yourself. If you truly have been justified by God, if you truly been saved by faith in Jesus Christ alone, you don't have a right to condemn yourself. You don't have the power or the authority to contradict what God has said about you, because there's nobody like that. Because he's almighty. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession. The only person that has a right of condemnation is Jesus Christ. And if you by faith have placed your faith in Christ, the only person Jesus is going to condemn one day are those that have not believed on him. And really, that condemnation is just being erected, because the Bible says, he that believeth not is condemned already. They made that choice, that we were born into that. We were born not having believed on Christ. And everything that God does, every grace, every situation, the heavens and all these things and all the things that God does to pour out mercy upon this lost and dying world, those that have walked before us in faith and in difficult situations to show forth the reality of Jesus Christ, when those that have never believed on Him are going to have absolutely no excuse. And but if you've been born again, that's not you. And so you don't have to live your life. You can actually worship God. You can actually adore Him. You can actually praise Him, because you can come here and say, Lord, the only reason I'm clean today in Your sight is because You made it happen. Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. You know, that January 20th, 1993, I coming to the end of myself, and I realized I couldn't save myself. Man, and can I tell you the truth? I wanted to save myself. I wanted to be so good. I wanted to be so spiritual that I could rescue myself from my own sin. And I tried so hard. I tried preaching. I tried teaching. I tried to be a better husband. I tried to be a good father. I tried to be a good worker. I tried to do everything I could. I tried. And I looked up one day, and man, all this work, and I still got leprosy. I'm still unclean. But oh, that Wednesday morning, my soul. I didn't say these words, but I feel it by the Spirit of God. Lord, it was just You. Lord, I've been trying to do it myself. And You paid it all through the life of Jesus Christ. It's all You. But I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what He did? He made me clean. Now, He didn't make me perfect, but He made me clean. There's a big difference in being perfect and clean, you know. But thank God for the merits by the love of Jesus Christ and how He works in the life of those that know Him. So back in Matthew chapter 8, you know, God would just really like some people just to worship Him. But you know, no matter how we get saved, what we come through, compared to God, we're all as an unclean thing. You know, the Bible says all of our righteousness are as filthy rags. I mean, it doesn't matter, you know. I mean, I've done more sin than probably a lot of people in this room, but that didn't make my salvation any better than somebody that hasn't done as much as me, because all of my righteousness is just a filthy rag. And God said, if you just come to Him, He said, all who come to Me, I will in no wise cast out. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll save you, and you'll be like this. But if you come, the greatest blessing, if you come and worship like this leper and recognize that, you know, the life that God wants you to live, can I save you a lot of effort right now? It's not in you to do it. It's just not in you. You've got to ask God to make it happen. I mean, I was some, it maybe this morning or something the other day, I can't what was going on, and I was starting to catch the attitude. I think it was Morgan, even the Holy Spirit kind of tipped me off. You're heading down that path. You're starting to get a little testy, you know. And the Holy Spirit let me know. I said, Lord, okay, thank You, Lord, but let me know, you know. And I needed Him to make me have a new attitude. Because, you know, it's funny. Now, you think about this. If the evolutionist is right, by the sixth child, shouldn't I be perfect at this? I mean, shouldn't it all be easy? Shouldn't nothing rattle my nerves anymore? Shouldn't nothing stress me out or make me even lose my temper by the sixth one after all these years? But you know what? It's not in me to have the right character I need to have toward Him. So I have to God make me. And I can depend on Him to do that, and He can help me to do that, and He will. And He allows my frailty, my flesh, to recognize that, okay, you thought you could kind of get through a day and make it through this life without Me. Now, what is internally settled is the things I want to do right, the way I want to honor Him, I'm not doing these things on to try to earn God's favor so He keeps me as His child. I'm doing these things because I just simply want to honor Him. And because it's who I am, I'm His child now, I really want to reflect Him. I really want to show forth the reality of who He is. But the worshiper, he recognizes the condition. He said, you know what? You know, there's nothing I know who you are, Jesus. And I see how bad my condition is. And I recognize, you know what? That apart from you, I'll never change. And apart from you, I'll never be different. But I got confidence in you. And all he said, Lord, all I have to know is if you're willing. If you will, I know you can make me clean. As permanent as I see myself, the condition I'm in right now, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. I know I can do what you want me to do. And by the grace of God, you know the Bible says, remember he was worshiping Jesus. And the Bible says he that humbles himself shall be exalted. And that's pretty humbling, humiliating to come to a place where you say, you know what? Lord, ain't a thing in the world I can do with me. And to recognize it, and also to recognize that without his help, you're permanently unclean. That's pretty humiliating. But to acknowledge that and to put it in the hands of God, God exalted him to be somebody that Jesus touched and his power worked through in a marvelous way. And then he says, every time I read this, I don't know how many times I've read this, but when he says, I will. You know, I don't know where you find yourself today, but if you have a desire to be clean before God, because see, he knew he wasn't clean before God. If you'll come to God and just say, Lord, if thou will, I know for a fact that he's willing, because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But you just have to have the faith like he did and say, Lord, thou canst make me clean. And then when he says, be thou clean, Lord, I believe you. I believe you. You know, it's amazing. And that's, you know, I find failure as a child of God is really meant to accomplish two things. It's to remind me, number one, of how perfect Jesus really was when he walked the face of the earth, and how that he really had to be God in the flesh. But it's also to remind me that salvation is a marvelous gift beyond human comprehension. To be able to be his child and not to live my life on probationary status. You know, I remember when I did work for a company called Express Temporary Services. I got a job as a machine operator in a plant. I think that was them. But I was on what was called a probationary period. And during that probationary period, I really was not an employee of Express Temporary. I really was not an employee of Centro, which was a machine operating company. I was an employee of Express Temporary. And I really wasn't in until I made through that probationary period. And I kept thinking, I got paid, just like the other employees got paid, but I wasn't in. And I was watching, waiting, hoping that when that probationary period ended, I would actually be considered an employee. And you know, there's many people, that's the way they live their Christian life. They keep laboring, trying to get in, trying to look to earn some status from God. Whereas, you know, God says he will have mercy and not sacrifice. You know what I pray for myself and pray for so many people more than others. There were times in my life I couldn't pray for people because I looked at them and I looked at what they were doing. I thought, well, man, I guess this just must be the way it is. But, you know, I realized, you know, as a child of God, especially my brothers and sisters in Christ, you know what God gives me even as his child when I don't act right? Mercy. He gives me mercy. And so I can, with full of faith, I can pray for mercy for people now. And even for lost people that don't know Christ, I can pray that God would have mercy on them. It's such a refreshing way to view people now differently. Realize that, man, if they're God's child, you know, they don't have to, I want them to do right, because if they don't, they're missing out. They're missing out on fruit. And you can see it written all over their lives. Just as I can, in the times when I'm, don't walk with God, it's written all over my life. The lack of peace, the lack of joy, the lack of temperance, the lack of faith. It's written all over me just like anybody else, preacher or not preacher. My life shows that I don't have fruit. But thank God that when I just yield to Him in the condition that I am, in confidence in who He is, He commands over my life that which is beyond me. He makes it happen. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Proverbs 28, in verse number 13. It said, "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but he that confesseth and forsaketh it shall have mercy." I can't tell you the number of times I've cried out to God and said, "Lord, I'm so sorry that I sinned against you in this area of my life. And Lord, you know my heart. I don't even feel like I deserve mercy. But I'm confessing to you, and by your help, I'm for turning away from it in your presence right now. And based on the authority of what you said, I'm trusting you for mercy. Because I don't feel like I should have it. And people that know me don't think I should have it." You ever been that way? But Lord, you said I should have it, so I trust you. So what a marvelous, and Jesus sets the tone here as we go out to minister to people. You know, if you pass out tracts or you tell people your testimony, if you have a concern for people that don't know God, you're going to see people like the leper that we read about today. And you know what? You're going to look at their life and you're going to say, "Man, there's not a thing in the world that can be done for them." Maybe you've known them a while. Maybe you've known them a while. You think, "You know what? There's no way in the world that person will ever change." In fact, you may even go so far as to say it is impossible for that person to change. Except, but if the Lord's willing. And the Lord is willing, because the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So Jesus set the example by going in to what was considered at that time probably the most unclean person on the face of the earth, and just a word from Him cleansed, changed forever. He made it happen. If you're not born again today, God can make it happen to you. God can give you life that beyond what you beyond your imagination. God can give you joy. He can give you peace, the fruits of the Spirit as you yield and walk to Him. He can make you have a heart to love Him and to serve Him and to go after Him. There's so much He can do. But all from what we read today begins with worship. It begins with recognizing, you know what? You're Lord above everything in my life. And my circumstance don't matter. My situation don't matter. All that matters is, Lord, what is it that you're willing to do? Because whatever you're willing to do, I know that can happen. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you for the privilege to be one of your children. Lord, what a marvelous thing it is. I thank you that you've allowed me to come to know you. And Lord, and I can't thank you enough for the joy that you flood my soul with because of you creating me, allowing me to be born, even all the problems and situations you allowed me to live through. I thank you for that. I thank you for Jesus Christ, who gives salvation so rich and so sweet. Lord, I don't know what to ask. So since I just preached it, Lord, for every single one of us in this room, please, Father, thy will be done. And I believe this through the name of Jesus Christ.